TSA ticks off another U.S. senator. DOT has new rules to help airline customers. And armed airline pilots want more freedom to carry. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 25th, 2012. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has gone public with an op-ed contribution in the Washington Times detailing an encounter with a TSA Monday in Nashville, Tennessee, in which he paints the TSA as intrusive yet ineffective. The agency has responded with its side of the story in the official TSA blog. In his op-ed, Senator Paul says an irregularity was found in his full body scan, which he says he has learned is an intentional and misleading tactic to trigger random pat-downs of travelers. He continues in part, quote, "Despite removing my belt, glasses, wallet, and shoes, the scanner and TSA also wanted my dignity. I refused. I showed them the potentially offending part of my body, my leg. They were not interested. They wanted to touch me and pat me down. I requested to be rescanned. They refused and detained me in a 10-foot by 10-foot area reserved for potential terrorists," unquote. Paul says he was traveling to address 200,000 people at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and while he missed his flight, he's not expecting special treatment for U.S. senators. Quote, "Let me be clear. This is about every single one of us and how we are sick of the intrusive nature of our government. While sitting in the cubicle, I thought to myself, have the terrorists won? Have we sacrificed our liberty and our dignity for security? Finally, the airport head of TSA arrived after I had missed my flight. He let me go back through the scanner, and this time the scanner did not go off. The only comment from TSA was that some of the alarms are simply random. So passengers who do everything right, remove their belts, remove their wallets, remove their shoes, their glasses, and all of the contents in their pockets, are then subjected to random pat-downs and tricked into believing that the scanners actually detected something? Every time we travel, we are expected to surrender our Fourth Amendment rights. Yet, willingly giving up our rights does not make us any safer. It is infuriating that this agency feels entitled to revoke our civil liberties while doing little to keep us safe," unquote. Well, TSA blogger Bob Burns apparently drew the short straw again, having to explain the agency's way out of this one, and on behalf of the TSA posted a response which says, in part, quote, "When a passenger or bag alarms in screening technology at a TSA checkpoint, the alarm has to be resolved before the passenger can enter the secure area past the checkpoint. Passengers who refuse to complete the screening process can't be granted access to the secure area. This isn't done to punish the passenger. It's done to ensure that every person who gets on a plane is screened appropriately," unquote. Senator Paul concludes relating his experience with a promise, quote, "I will further push for the reinstatement of traveler privacy and rights. I will be proposing legislation that will allow for adults to be rescreened if they so choose," unquote. The U.S. Department of Transportation says more new regulations going into effect this week will help ensure that consumers are treated fairly when they travel by air. Among the new provisions are requirements that airlines and ticket agents include all mandatory taxes and fees in published airfares, and that they disclose baggage fees to consumers buying tickets. Passengers are now also able to hold a reservation without payment or cancel the booking without penalty for 24 hours after the reservation is made, if you make the reservation 1 week or more prior to a flight's departure date. Airlines are also required to promptly notify passengers of flight delays over 30 minutes and flight cancellations and diversions, and they will generally be prohibited from increasing the price of your ticket after you've purchased it. Everyone knows that pilots who receive certain training are now allowed to carry guns into the cockpits of the aircraft they fly. Fewer of us probably knew there is a Federal Flight Deck Officer Association to represent them. The association is lobbying for relaxed restrictions which would allow armed pilots to carry their weapons outside the cockpits, including when they're out of uniform and riding as passengers in the cabins of airliners. Association President Marcus Flagg observes, quote, "That would put us in line with standard law enforcement," unquote. In discussing the issue with the Sun Sentinel, he declined to say how many pilots participate in the program, but did say the number of armed pilots is just behind the number of FBI agents, which is about 13,800. In justification of the push for the change, Flagg notes that there are five times as many armed pilots as there are federal air marshals. TSA says the restriction on carrying guns outside the cockpit is in place to protect the traveling public. The paper reports weapons experts say the policy likely is intended to eliminate the possibility of a troublemaker taking a gun away from a pilot or of an accidental discharge. Flagg counters that pilots are trained to minimize those risks before being authorized to carry. He also says the restrictions are discouraging many pilots who might otherwise participate in the program. TSA disagrees. Spokeswoman Kimberly Thompson of the Federal Air Marshal Service says, quote, "Interest in the program and participation both remain strong. There are no shortages of applicants," unquote. Some law enforcement officers are expressing the same disdain for armed pilots in airliner cabins that they expressed when TSA employees were issued uniforms and badges that made them look like actual police. One comments to the Sun Sentinel, quote, "I went through a one-day FAA course that taught me how to put an airplane on autopilot and evacuate an aircraft safely. This does not make me a pilot. These guys go through 5 days of firearms training that deals with cockpit tactics. This does not make them law enforcement officers. Keep them in the cockpit," unquote. Still ahead, a Florida helicopter crash has prompted a lawsuit. A Red Tails consultant didn't live to see the movie's release. And it looks like George Lucas will defy Hollywood predictions. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Wednesday, January 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The family of 57-year-old medical procurement technician David Hines has filed suits against the operator of a helicopter in which Hines died on December 26th. As ANN reported, the Bell 206B was making a run to retrieve a donated heart from a hospital in Gainesville, Florida, for transplant into a waiting recipient at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. The wreckage was found 4 hours after the flight began in a wooded area near Green Cove Springs, with evidence suggesting it had clipped treetops in foggy conditions under a 300-foot ceiling. Jacksonville.com reports the suit was filed Friday against SK Logistics, the helicopter's operator. On Monday, Christine Hines, her sister, Crystal Greiner, and their attorney, Robert Sporer, told reporters that while the lawsuit seeks damages, money isn't the point. Greiner commented, quote, "We just want justice for our father and the other families that are going through this. We do not want anything to happen to anybody else. This is a horrible, horrible thing," unquote. Sporer added, quote, "The information that was available from the crash scene suggests that this is an operational negligence situation, and the lawsuit enables the family to subpoena to get information that SK Logistics until now has declined to give us," unquote. Officials of the company, as you might expect, have declined to comment on the pending litigation. Also on that ill-fated flight were 68-year-old pilot Hoke Smith, described as a highly decorated Vietnam pilot with commendations that include the Bronze Star, Purple Heart, and the Distinguished Flying Cross, and 49-year-old Mayo Clinic cardiac surgeon Luis Bonilla. The NTSB's preliminary report noted that during the en route portion of the flight, the helicopter's altitude varied between 200 and 700 feet MSL. The last radar target was recorded about a mile north of the accident site, indicating an altitude of 300 feet MSL. A debris field was observed, which originated with several trees that were severed by breaks at descending altitudes. While many of us have been going to local movie theaters to see the George Lucas film Red Tails, another of the real Tuskegee Airmen was being interred at Arlington National Cemetery near the nation's capital. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers Jr. was one of the thousands of men associated with the first opportunity for black pilots to fly for the U.S. in combat. He died at age 90 in October. He was buried on Friday. The burial ceremony included a missing man formation flown by four F-16s from the 113th Wing of the D.C. Capitol Guardians. The Tennessean reports a caisson pulled by six horses carried Weathers' body to his burial spot. An Air Force band accompanied the wagon, and family members wore red ties and scarves to pay tribute to the Red Tails. Luke Weathers III, the deceased's son, is now 61 years old and recalls that the fight for acceptance by the U.S. military's first black fighter pilots went on long after World War II. He recalls that they proved themselves in combat, quote, "and then they wanted their country to love them, but that didn't happen either." He would talk about his hard trials and tribulations to others, to children, because he never wanted us to feel like this is a reason we couldn't make it. He would tell us nothing good comes easy. He'd say there are going to be barriers, and you can overcome them, unquote. Meanwhile, at the box office, the film George Lucas backed with his own money, after several studios turned the project down, has done better than expected by Hollywood insiders. Reviews from actual viewers have been much better than early reviews from critics, with Box Office Mojo reporting an overall A rating and an A-plus from viewers under 18 and over 50. The film grossed $18.8 million in its opening weekend, coming in at number two among all movies being shown. And finally today, I went to see Red Tails over the weekend. The studios told George Lucas that a black film would not earn back a $100 million budget, so he had to back it himself. But if they were lumping Red Tails in with movies like Booty Call and Big Mama's House, they missed the point. If Red Tails doesn't break even, it won't be because the story lacks broad appeal. It will have more to do with too much slow-moving story detail and too much melodrama. But as you might expect from George Lucas, the aerial combat scenes are terrific, even if they occasionally get the sound wrong to match the aircraft. Parts of it will remind you of World War II movies of a half century ago, and that was done on purpose. Most important, though, the movie does the story justice. Don't wait to see it as a rental on a TV screen later. Red Tails has to be seen on the big screen. You will be glad you went. That's the latest from Arrow News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Arrowcasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at arrow-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.